Here we go. This is the John Glenn Station, Station Keeper's Report, day number 444. Rosario Lee reporting. I've just completed a 6-hour sleep cycle. Oh, once I've had my coffee. Let's see. First thing on today's agenda is to activate the watering system in the greenhouse. Then to check for more leaks again. Ugh. And then as soon as all the little sprouts are happy, I can get on to cleaning the...
Good morning, Rosario. Rise and shine.
Oh, thanks, Holly. How are things in Houston?
You tell me. That's your job.
Well, during my last flyover, you had clear skies and a temperature of 93 degrees. But there was some cloud cover heading your way from the west, so you might have some rain coming.
You nailed it. It's pretty hot out there. Hey, you have two messages this morning. First, your sister said to tell you that her daughter Maria just passed her immunity test, and they're having her immunity party on Saturday.
Oh, I know. I wish I could be there for it.
You will be. We told them to have the party here in control, so you'll be able to join them by video link.
No way. Aw, thank you. That's so sweet of you.
Hey, we want to see the baby, too. Also, the Miami colony is reporting rapidly dropping barometric pressure readings from their remote sensors in the Caribbean. So there might be a hurricane somewhere in the mid-Atlantic. They want you to take a look on the next pass.
Sure. I'm looking out the window right now. Where am I?
You've just passed over the eastern coast of Africa, just south of Zanzibar.
Ooh, it's totally dark down there. There's no lights at all.
Yep, the cradle of civilization is pretty much devoid of it now. If you strain your neck, you might just be able to see the Aswan colony off to your upper right. The Johannesburg colony is to your lower left, but it's beyond the horizon.
Okay. I think I can see...
NASA Control, this is the USS Lewis and Clark, home after 35 years, and boy, do I have a whale of a tale for you. You copy?
Oh my god. Holly, did you hear that? Oh my god, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe talk to him. I'll contact President Mary.
Houston, this is the Lewis and Clark. Do you copy? Over. Where are you guys? ISS 2, this is the USS Lewis and Clark. Do you read me? Over.
Where's the
sensors are picking up the ISS 2.
No.
And there's the John Glenn Hotel. Looks like they finally finished it. John Glenn Hotel, you're my backup port.
Come on,
you read me. John Glenn Hotel, you're my backup port.
Do you read me?
Oh, yes. This is John Glenn Station. I can hear you. Who is this?
John Glenn Station? Okay, I'll take that. This is Major Gordon Dixon, pilot of the USS Lewis and Clark, returning from a 35-year deep exploratory mission to the Proxima system, and as Nicholson liked to say, honey, I'm home. Who's this?
My name is Rosario Lee. I'm the station keeper.
I'm trying to reach the ISS too, but no one's responding. They're my primary dock. You're my secondary. Should I divert there?
Yes. I want you to come here. I think.
Roger that. Sorry if I sound a little groggy. I just woke up after a 17-year nap, and I haven't had my coffee yet.
I know how you feel.
I'm not picking up any chatter on the satellite feeds. Boy, it's quiet down there. I was hoping to catch the 167th season of Doctor Who, but wow, there's nothing. The satellites are all dead. What's going on?
A lot has changed since you left.
Yeah, I'm kind of figuring that out.
What was Earth's population when you left?
Just past 9 billion. Except for Detroit, where I'm from. That was still shrinking.
Now it's 1.6 million.
Detroit?
Earth.
What the hell happened?
A virus. The scientists who created it called it Novobola. It was made in a weapons lab in the East Ukraine. They evolved it from a strain of Ebola discovered in Virginia that only infected monkeys. They turned it into an airborne weapon. It causes the brain to hemorrhage. You bleed out through your ears and nose until you die. No one who's infected lives for more than 72 hours. There's no cure.
And they used it in some kind of war?
No, not a war. It got loose. A lab worker set a fire. The virus escaped. It infected the local towns and then spread out from there. Once they realized what they were up against, the nations of the world did everything they could to stop the spread, or what we call the burn. They stopped all forms of travel. Borders were sealed, people locked themselves in their homes and sealed the windows and doors, but nothing helped.
Nothing?
A few had a natural immunity. When the burn started, there were 9.6 billion people on Earth. 8 months later, there were only 233,000.
Oh my God. I have a younger brother. Well, I'm 33 and he'd be 57 now, but is it possible he
I'm
could
sorry,
still
Major
be-
I'm sorry, Major Dixon. Your brother is dead.
How can you be so sure?
If he was your brother, he's dead. In order to be immune, you had to have 6 rare recessive genes on one X chromosome and 4 equally rare genes on the other. In other words, you needed...
2 X chromosomes.
Yes.
You had to be a woman.
Only women can be immune. And to make it even harder, one set of the genes was found mostly in people from Central America. The other set was found only in people from Asia.
You had to be half Hispanic and half Asian to survive?
Genetic diversity at work. My father was from China and my mother was from Mexico. They met at the University of Texas. We were biracial, which didn't make us very popular with anyone. Then the burn came and we're all that's left.
There's an irony to that you might not understand.
We had no time for irony. Within a week of the infection, every power grid went down. Society just went dark while everyone was dying. I was just 3, but my sister was 7. She remembers seeing candles in the windows of homes. Then, one by one, the candles went out. We watched our parents die 20 minutes apart.
I'm sorry.
My sister saved my life. She knew no help was coming, so she took me by the hand, and together we walked to the highway headed towards Houston. Another survivor was heading the same way in her car. She took us to the Houston colony. Many children were not as fortunate as we were. Some died before we were able to locate them.
So there haven't been any men on Earth for 25 years?
There were 79 men who lived for 7 more years.
How?
They were in a submarine. The USS Carter. They were at sea testing a new kind of reactor when the burn started. They stayed submerged and had some kind of special filters that took the virus out of the air. Eventually, they came to the coast and settled on the seafloor in Monterey Bay.
And they just stayed down there?
The Monterey colony made a video link with them. 14 of the men were nuclear engineers. Several had designed nuclear power plants. With their help over the next year, we were able to restart 8 nuclear power plants around the world.
You got the nuclear plants running first?
They also helped us restart several hydroelectric dams and a few wind farms. The U.S. was without power for only 6 months. Once the power was back on, we had heat again, we could reopen the hospitals and establish communications with other survivors. Those 79 men saved civilization as we know it.
What happened to them?
The Monterey colony brought them food and supplies that had been sterilized. Over the years, they developed deep friendships with the women in the colony. One sailor even married one, although they knew they could never meet. Everything seemed to be going okay.
And then?
We think one of the food shipments must have been improperly sterilized. The virus got on board. It killed 3 of them, but they had asked for pills in the event that they became infected, so the rest took their own lives to avoid infection. The submarine is still down there on the floor of Monterey Bay. Someday someone will build a memorial over it. Like at Pearl Harbor. A memorial to the people that saved civilization.
Rosario, I have the information on the USS Lewis and Clark. I'm transmitting it up to you now. We're still trying to locate President Mary. Major Dixon was right. The hotel was supposed to be their backup docking station, but there's something more. There were 8 people on that ship. Where are the rest of them?
Thanks, Holly. Major Dixon.
You can call me Gordy.
Gordy. There were 8 people on the Lewis and Clark. Where's your crew?
I'm the only survivor.
What happened?
We arrived at Proxima 4 right on schedule. It was pretty amazing, really. It's an all-water world. No land masses of any kind. Unfortunately, the surface pressure is too high to support human life, so it's out for colonizing. But while we were in orbit, Sue Anderson, our exobiologist, spotted what she called a whale, because that's what it looked like, except that it had 12 fins on each side and was over a mile and a half long.
A mile and a half? What kind of nervous system could it have? 2 brains? 3?
You know biology?
A little. I studied ocean biology in school.
Well, these whales must never submerge because there was an entire ecosystem living on its back. Birds, plants, you name it. Even though the pressure was in the red zone, Sue decided we needed to go down in the shuttle and collect samples because, hey, that's what we came for, right?
Mm-hmm.
As pilot, I had to stay on the Lewis and Clark to monitor the ship while the captain and the others went down to the surface. We knew there were high levels of methane in the atmosphere, but if it was evenly dispersed, it wasn't enough to be a problem. Unfortunately, it wasn't dispersed. There were scattered clouds a few thousand feet over the landing site. Turns out, they were pure condensed methane. The shuttle went into one of them, and its engines must have ignited it. The next thing I knew, my screen was nothing but blue fire.
They were incinerated?
No, the shuttle could handle the heat. It was the pressure that must have killed them. They were already nearing crush point. The explosion must have
crushed the hull.
The shuttle was crushed like a pop can. All I could do was watch as it tumbled into the sea. There were no transmissions.
I'm sorry.
I stayed in orbit for another 2 weeks, completing all their experiments. That whale they were going to visit, it must have been a baby. A few days later, I spotted one from orbit that was over 12 miles long. The largest living thing ever discovered. I've got a lot of amazing data stored in the ship's computer. Too bad there's no one left to study it.
Maybe I could...
Hey, it looks like I'm about 10 minutes out. I'm going to start initiating docking procedures. They did a nice job finishing that hotel. It must be nice to be an internet billionaire. How many people are on it?
Just me.
What? That place is huge.
Yep. About 40 rooms, plus dining facilities, a gym, a gourmet kitchen, a medical center, and a greenhouse big enough to feed 100 people a day. And completely self-sustaining. They finished it 3 weeks before the burn. The first guests hadn't even arrived yet. It was supposed to cost $100,000 a day to stay here. I've already run up a $44 million bill, and I'm nowhere near going home.
What are you doing?
Monitoring weather from orbit. We lost all our weather satellites, so now the only way to tell when a storm or hurricane is approaching is from eyes in space. I can also see if any of the colonies are having power outages or if there are forest fires. It's pretty important.
When do you go home?
Whenever they have another capsule to send up. As soon as they launch one, they start repairing another one, but those capsules have been sitting in the Nevada desert for 25 years. The one that was supposed to bring my replacement had a fatal flaw, so they started working on another, but I'll be up here for at least 2 more years.
Then I guess there's room for 2, as long as I bring the fruitcake.
We might never see each other.
5 minutes to dock. Compatible coupling confirmed. Oh, good. They didn't make any changes to the docking port. Our ships are talking to each other now. I can finally have my coffee. One thing bothers me, though. You said there were 233,000 survivors 25 years ago, But now there's 1.6 million people. Did you find men with immunity?
No, we're cloning. We use a birth lottery that President Mary created. Having men would be wasteful. They're a drain on our resources, and they can't contribute to the population. Mary says that until there are at least 5 million people, our species still stands a chance of being wiped out by another disease, like smallpox. So we can't afford to add men until we reach a population of at least 5 million. 20 years ago, she said 2 million, but she just changed it to 5 million.
20 years? How long has she been president?
Mary's been president of the colony since the burn. Right now, we need stability. The whole world has to work together to make sure we have all the resources we need. Education is a big problem. After the burn, no one knew how to repair electric lines or fly an airliner.
I could teach them to fly.
Well, we've had to relearn those skills. It would be amazing if you could. Thank goodness Mary was the Secretary of Education. When the burn started, she went into an underground bunker in Virginia with the president and 1,800 senators and congressmen and their families, along with her own husband and two daughters. 2 weeks later, she was the only one to emerge alive. She saw them all die. She doesn't want to ever see that again. So until we reach 5 million people, her goal is 250,000 new births a year, all female.
I'm not liking that math.
Gordy.
Rosario, can you hear me?
Yes, who is this?
This is President Mary. Are you in communication with the Lewis and Clark?
Yes, Madam President. But there's only one survivor on board.
Is it a man?
Yes, the ship's pilot, Major Gordon Dixon.
All right. First, I want you to shut off all communications with that ship. Are they off?
Yes.
Then I want you to listen to me very carefully. Under no circumstances are you to allow that ship to dock with the station. Do you understand?
No. I mean, he has nowhere else to go.
Yes, he does. He can dock with the ISS, too. That's what he's supposed to be doing.
The space station's hull was breached 8 years ago when we tried to dock with it. It's a vacuum inside.
He doesn't need to enter it. He just needs to dock with it. He can put himself back into hibernation until we're ready to allow men back into society.
But, Madam President...
Rosario, everything we have accomplished in the last 25 years hangs in the balance. Everything depends on what you do next, and I mean everything. I will not allow you to destroy all that we've worked for.
Madam, it's just one man. He's stranded. He needs our help.
Rosario, you don't remember the world before the burn, but I do. Every day, the news was filled with rapes and murders and famine. Since the burn, the world has been at peace. In the last 25 years, there's not been one single war. Never in the history of our species can you say that.
Madam.
In the last 25 years, there have been no murders, no rapes. Rosario, before the burn, the starvation rate was 30,000 people a day.
But
30,000 people died every single day from starvation. But now, in the last 24 years, not one person has starved to death. Not one.
But madam...
Rosario, your docking sequence is initiated.
Listen to me. Last month, the Aswan colony sent an expedition onto the Serengeti. They were the first people to go there since the burn. Do you know what they found? Rhinos, Rosario. Rhinos. After just 25 years, rhinos are already making a comeback because no men are there to hunt them or to use their horns to cure limp dicks. Rosario, we have been given a gift, a world at peace. 9 billion people died to give us this chance, and I am not going to let you throw it away. We owe it to them to protect the world they've given us, and it's a world of such peace and beauty.
But I've spoken to him. He could teach us more skills that we've lost. He has information from this amazing space exploration. He's not a monster. He's just
a man. Men created the virus that nearly killed us all. That entire team was just a bunch of men trying to win a war, never thinking about who they would kill or how many.
It was a woman who released it, and we know she was probably working for the CIA.
Yes, she was trying to destroy it, to incinerate it off the face of the Earth.
How did that work for us? 9 billion people died because she was trying to save the world. Gordy is just a human being. like me. He's just an astronaut like me, and he's lost everyone, just like us.
President Mary, the Lewis and Clark has docked.
Don't open that door. It would be a pity if some of the supplies we sent up to you weren't properly sterilized. You know that can happen.
Oh my God. What are you saying?
Just that we know sometimes the sterilization process doesn't work and the virus can slip on board. You wouldn't want that to happen to your astronaut, would you?
You killed them? You killed the sailors on that submarine.
They killed themselves. I showed them mercy. They were dying a little each day, trapped in that tin can. They were a constant reminder of an era that needed to pass into history. And so is your astronaut. Rosario, let that era die. Come home and enjoy the wonderful world we've been given. A world of such peace and beauty. Rosario. Rosario?
No, how could you? How could you do this? That's not peace, that's war! Damn it! Gordy, are you still there?
Yes. I wondered what happened to you. We're docked, and I was just about
to... Are you ready to come on board? You ready to finally meet?
I don't know. It's a big place. How will I recognize you?
I'll be the one in the shiny silver leotard.
Rosario, no!
Airlock open.
Permission to come aboard?
Permission granted.
No Man's Land was written by Kay Klein, directed by Dan Machalco, and mixed by Catherine Ranella. This story is featured as part of the MAT Scriptwriting Competition Winners Collection of 2019. Featuring the voice talents of Catherine Ranella as Rosario Lee, Aaron Lillis as Holly, Keith Jackson as Gordon Dixon, and Kate Blair Wilhelm as President Mary. Credit music by Filmstro. Additional sound effects provided by SoundSnap and freesound.org. Executive producer is Dan Machalco. This has been a Merodi Media Midnight Audio Theater production.